What was he like anyway, Lynette?
You know him.
Yeah, but
most people know him but don't know him. I mean, Fred was a nice guy, but he was introverted. I mean, that's why he worked so hard. I mean, he was dyslexic. How many people know him as dyslexic, right? You know, he struggled in school, but thank God he found art. You know, and he had a real gift for language. That's true.
Oh,
yeah. Uh-huh. But you know, he was always making stuff, right? Always, he had hundreds of ideas.
Huh. Did he talk very much to you?
Only after he had his brain tumor.
Okay, let's sit down.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Wait, let's sit down.
You can sit right here.
Should we, though? I'm just wondering how noisy,
noisy
is this street. Is it not too
I'm
bad?
I'm just going to tell you one story out here. One Sunday morning,
yeah.
We were sitting out here, and like we always did, we spent a lot of time out here eating breakfast, you know, in the afternoon, pahana, having a beer, or even having dinner out here. But we're having breakfast, and we heard this huge sound, and we kind of saw this white van briefly fly over, you know, jump over, and then crash down below. I mean, I can't even tell you how long ago that was, maybe 15 years ago. So, utility van, you know, those cargo vans, a white cargo van, had lost its brakes coming down. And the driver, who was by himself, landed below. And so I called 911, and Fred went down there, you know, alone. And I didn't go down there, but he told me what happened. You know, he said he knew the driver was dying. I almost thinking about it, you know, this is the kind of person he was. You know, he just stayed there quietly and held the man's hand until, you know, until he passed. And whatever faults Fred had as a person, you know, that to me absolved everything. He was just so caring and compassionate and brave to even do something like that. I don't think I would have done that. And as he went through his own decline, you know, he thought a lot about how he would meet God or whatever you call, you know, his maker. And for him, you know, the reaching out with his hands was always such a strong metaphor. You know, hoping that by passing his hand through this magical copper bracelet that he made, that, you know, God will reach and grasp his hand, hold his hand. And knowing or thinking about these things gave him the strength to not be afraid. He was a worrier. Most people don't know that. His dad was a worrier. You know, Kate is a worrier. They get anxious. They have anxiety. And there's nothing you can do to change that. He always said, I was the strong one, you know, in the relationship. But you look at him, you know, this tall, 6 foot, what, two guy, you know, very athletic. But at the same time, so, you know, soft and gentle inside. It came out in his work. Everybody loved Fred's work. I think you could see playfulness there. Yeah, I know. I loved his work. I mean, I've known Fred since I was 22, I think. I met him. He was never my teacher. But all my friends had him as a teacher.
Where do you think his story starts?
Where? Oh, definitely at home with his family. Yeah, definitely.
His mom and dad,
yeah.
Very close.
Very close family.
Brothers, sisters.
Yeah, two older sisters, two younger brothers. Yeah, and they all they had was each other, you know, and the boys were so competitive. And the girls were doing something else in the house, but the boys were always together outside. And they had so much freedom. The parents were always working on the egg farm. So of course they had chores, but lots of times the boys would just head off and go fishing. They had a lot of, they could explore safely back then. You know, just take their bikes and fishing poles and be out in nature all day long. Yeah, they grew up in Northern California, Palo Alto area, back when it was still lots of farms.
Mm-hmm. Has he always been an artist?
Oh, you mean, I think he didn't find art until junior college is when he took his first ceramics class. You know, back in high school, he thought he was going to be a pastor. Yeah, his parents sent the boys and the girls to Sunday school while they stayed home and, you know, kept up with things on the farm. But, yeah, nobody knows that about Fred. I mean, maybe Cade knows, but, yeah. And they did a lot of 4-H growing up. So they raised cows, you know, or steers. And that was heartbreaking because he had a special steer named Rusty who, you know, they took to the county fair and showed their animals. And then the cow is being loaded up on a van and that's it, right? Yeah.
You learn a different things about life.
Right. Mm. You know our dog, Bella?
Yeah.
It's really the first dog that he felt was like his dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she became a muse to him.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He sculpted her as a puppy. He made tons of little Bella sculptures. I mean, he forgot all about schnauzers when Bella came along.
I guess so.
Yeah. I used to tell people living with Fred was like living with a dog because he was so quiet. Like my dog, right? I mean, I can still understand what she wants and things like that. But, you know, we were so comfortable together. I mean, this was our sanctuary. I mean, it still is. I feel him here. Yeah, not in a negative kind of scary way. But, you know, especially when I'm in the yard where I put his ashes by the mango tree, I like to just stay around there because I just feel like he's near.
What illness did he have?
Oh, Fred had glioblastoma. It's a malignant brain tumor.
You two have been together since the 90s, right?
Well, we got married in 1996. So yeah, we almost made it to our 21st anniversary on winter solstice. We got married on December 21. So poor Fred, he always had to make me something, he thought. You know, he always gave gifts he made or wanted to. And right after our anniversary came Christmas, which is my birthday. So whammy, right? Three things in a row. So sometime during that time, we always went out for our favorite dinner, which was yohei. You know, just a nice Japanese dinner. And yeah, and he'd be busy making his little elf toy maker. So the show actually opening tonight, it's a different kind of exhibit because I'm showing pieces that Fred made for me and gave me over the years. You know, some are little objects. I mean, some are jewelry, of course, you know, rings and bracelets. I mean, my wedding rings, I had like 5 bands.
Oh.
You know, and he kept making, I mean, they're all so filled with memories. So why would I share it? I think it's a cathartic for me. I mean, why not share it? I mean, Fred made it.
So many people know Fred, but
yeah,
but don't really have never really known him as you do.
Well, even I didn't really know him.
How did he look at dying?
He was ready for it because the Fred after surgery, after chemotherapy, he lost so much of what he loved. You know, he loved being on his bicycle. He gave away all his bikes to his students. He loved the freedom of exploring. You know, he couldn't drive anymore. After the first emergency room, he had a grand mal seizure on the table, you know, in the ER, so no driving after that. I had to do all the driving for him. I would take him walking every day. We would go down to either Hunakai Park or Triangle Park, you know, and for Kahala Avenue, we still walked Bella together. But over 20 months, it got, you know, shorter and shorter. But he still pushed himself because, you know, he was an athlete. He wasn't afraid to push himself. Of course he was afraid. And it made me look at death and dying. I read him several books. Tuesdays with Maury Morris, you know, and then, you know, I would read him a chapter. He loved for me to read to him. I didn't just read him depressing books about death, of course. You know, I'd choose a good fiction for him that, you know, we'd laugh and cry over. Yeah. And Nina gave me a book one Christmas. Hagiwara's the one who introduced us way back in the lab. I mean, 77, I think. So she lives down here, but her mother lives down here, and Nina lives in San Francisco. But yeah, that's how I met Fred. Yeah. But anyway, she gave me a book of days, you know, 365 days of sayings by the Stoics. And Fred just loved that book. He would read it every day. You know, he would make notations from it. And he was writing. Did you ever see any of his writing? Oh, I'll have to show you. Oh. I would email it out to friends and family.
Really?
Yeah. I have a whole folder of writings that I saved.
What kinds of things did he say?
He's writing about life and death and how he wished he had said thank you more often in life. You know, it was all very reflective. All very deep, but as in his art, his writing was just spectacular. It got you, you know, it just nailed you right here in some storytelling way. He was upset so much with mankind for polluting this earth, you know, polluting the water, making a mess of things. Yeah, he always made a statement in his work. I mean, monkey with a gun sitting on top, right? I mean, look at who's really carrying the guns in our society. It's pure danger. Yeah.
What else did he, I mean, or just let's say most sculptures
people,
that he really
most
liked.
Most people don't know that Fred did a Kaahumanu series over maybe a course of almost 20 years.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Why?
He was just really fascinated by her. I mean, she was Kuhina Nui, you know, most powerful. And she's the one who actually allowed Christianity into Hawaii. She was a strong supporter of literacy.
Wow, they're
his books. He kept a diary every year. I have a drawer full of them.
Did he have any favorite pieces?
Oh, well, the favorite one is in the show. It's The Plant Manager's Life. I can show you a picture of it.
I'll look for it in the show.
Yeah, I mean, you'll recognize it. I mean, I think his favorite piece was his office. You know, his office shelves. You remember that in the show?
Yes.
I mean, that blew everybody's mind. You know, everybody wanted to just hang out there and look, and pick up and touch, right? I have this one. I didn't offer it, though. The St. Francis.
Oh.
So this one.
The Gardener.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a favorite for both of us. Plant Manager's Life, it's called. I love that he made his own totang. We have a thing about totang.
You mean the corrugated iron roofs?
Yeah, because it's such a Hilo thing, too. Yeah. Mm. And, of course, he likes the Mango series, the language, you know. That's always been a real... he loved Mango season. So one of the pieces is with giving, receiving in Mango season.
Oh.
We have parts of this piece, but not the base anymore. It kind of got rusty, but... Everything's here. The monkeys are sitting over there.
Oh,
I was gonna.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then the bell is outside. I put it in the yard, and the big wheel is just stuck behind here. It was up on our wall, but we had to take it off when the kitchen was getting, you know, started.
You said he was fine about leaving.
Yeah, I mean, he was sad that I would be alone, but yeah, he didn't want to live with his limited capabilities. You know, he wasn't alive. I mean, you know, he couldn't... It wasn't him. That was the hardest part. But he never complained. The brain tumor was not painful. So he was always thankful that he wasn't in pain. Yeah, I mean, we looked for things to be thankful for every day. Kind of sad, but that's how it was.
And still is.
Yeah, still hard, but you know, I went to Bhutan. I just came back from Bhutan 2 weeks, right? And it just gave me such a lift, like, live, you know. It's telling me this whole thing was live with an open heart. Experience life, you know. Be out of your comfort zone, but live. It's such a big, strong message.